You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer. Kent, thanks for being here. The unprecedented speed of job losses in our country due to COVID has left many people unable to manage their debts. And the Labor Department says more than 20 million people lost their jobs last month. More than 36 million new unemployment claims have been filed since mid-March. Have you talked with your lender about your debt payments and loans? What could they offer you? What questions do you have about the state's regulation of banks and credit unions and other lenders during the pandemic? We're at 800-642-1234. Kathy Blumenfeld is Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions. Secretary Blumenfeld, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much, Kate. I'm delighted to be here with you this morning.
So as the outbreak really started picking up in mid-March, you were urging lenders to lower interest rates and look at their fees and see what they could do. Did they comply with that? How is that doing?
Yes, our financial institutions in Wisconsin, I couldn't be prouder of them. They've really stepped up, and they're often a pillar in the community and really see themselves as part of the solution, both in terms of providing services and helping people through these tough times. And we've seen a lot of really good efforts on the front end of this pandemic. So it's ranged from working with borrowers to look at, you know, interest rates, payment plans, skipping a payment if needed, really taking their needs into consideration. And so we will, we've urged our financial institutions, both banks and credit unions, to do that, as well as our federal counterparts have really sent clear messages that this is a time to really step up and do what you can to help your members and your customers.
Yeah, and with your credit union background, I'm wondering if you're seeing credit unions in particular doing some perhaps creative things with their members right now.
Absolutely. I think both banks and credit unions have done a really nice job in this effort. So I don't want to single one out over the other because they've both really come to the table to work with their members as best as they can at this time. So a lot of innovative new things are being laid out to help them. And in most cases, it's a one-on-one conversation. So a member or a customer goes to their financial institution and has a conversation with their lender. And then most often they're tailoring solutions to help them during this time. And nobody knows, of course, how long this is going to last. And fortunately, many of Wisconsinites receive stimulus payments, and that has certainly helped out during this time, as well as the Department of Revenue has done a really nice job in processing refunds as quickly as they're getting them. So those things on top of, unfortunately, we do see a lot of people that are out of work. So many are receiving unemployment benefits at this time. So all those different sources of funds are really helping many people get through this time. But we know and we hear from many people that are still struggling, no matter, you know, that are out of work or having tough times during this pandemic.
We're talking about the pandemic with Kathy Blumenfeld, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions. You can join in. What questions do you have about the state's regulation of banks and credit unions and securities? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Secretary, you know, these credit unions and banks, they're doing all of these services now remotely. People aren't coming into lobbies. They're not meeting with their bankers face to face. Have you talked with financial institutions about how they deliver all of their services either virtually or through a drive-up window situation?
Sure. Just like everyone, in the middle of March, when this all hit, the first thing that banks and credit unions were doing was really trying to make sure that they were protecting their staff and their members. So we saw a lot of lobbies that were shut down and closed, but drive-throughs remained open because it's really important that there is that opportunity to take out money, cash checks, do the functions that are needed. And of course, if people needed access to their safety deposit box, they could most often just make an appointment and then use social distancing and protective PPE to make sure that things were done in a safe measure. And then also almost nearly all of our financial institutions, I think there's just 10 or less that don't have everything available online. At the beginning, it was really interesting, Kate, because we would hear reports about people taking large cash withdrawals. And that's human nature, right? Because, you know, people get scared. We live through the Great Recession. And so people, one of their first responses, perhaps after hoarding toilet paper, was going to their financial institution and withdrawing money. And I think quickly, and thank you to Governor Evers for helping get this message out, as well as the Wisconsin Bankers Association, the Wisconsin Credit Union League, really assuring people that this was not, it was a pandemic, it was a health crisis, and really not a financial crisis. You know, the great news here is going into the pandemic, our state chartered credit unions and banks were in a very strong financial position. And the Fed responded very quickly to ensure that there was ample liquidity within the system. So while human nature had a lot of people making cash withdrawals, which it's really not safe to keep that money under your mattress or in your, you know, sock drawer, I think people then really figured out quickly that this was something different than what we experienced in the Great Recession.
Last month, your department issued emergency guidance on debt collection practices. What could debt collectors do before the pandemic that may now be considered harassment?
I think when we get at some of the more aggressive procedures, you know, we see where they debt collectors, most of which operate, you know, our licensed ones operate very well and have practices that are respectful and work well. But there are a few bad actors out there that are more aggressive and not only go after the person that owes money, but goes after their family members and goes after their employers and goes well beyond the scope of what is normal. Those will not be tolerated. So we sat down at the beginning, our leadership team and our staff, we sat down at the beginning of this pandemic and really said, you know, what lessons have we learned from the, you know, the Great Recession, from other times where people were vulnerable? And what can we do to get ahead of that in terms of guidance to those that we license, as well as to consumers that may be vulnerable and may be taken advantage of? So this is one area that we thought, oh, it could be ripe for people to be taken advantage of. And so we wanted to get ahead of that to say, look, things that might have been normal in normal times may be considered in a different way during this pandemic.
We're talking with Kathy Blumenfeld, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions, about financial institutions themselves, the banks, the credit unions, managing debt amid the pandemic. Are you nervous about sending your child to college because you're not sure how you're going to pay for it? Let's talk about student debt at 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, it's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent, and it's not clear when schools or colleges will reopen, but there is some relief on student loan debt during the pandemic. The student debt crisis was with us long before the virus outbreak. In January, Governor Evers formed a student debt task force in Wisconsin. The group met last week.
This is important. We know that education-related debt disproportionately affects students of color, low-income students, first-generation college students, women, and veterans.
Are you a college graduate? Where did you go to school? How much student loan debt do you have? What do you think? When do you think it will be paid off? And what changes must happen to deal with our country's debt in student loans, close to $1.6 trillion? Join in 800-642-1234. We have Kathy Blumenfeld, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions, who stays with us for the hour. Secretary, I understand the task force met a week ago. How did it go?
It went great, Kate. We had hoped to launch in the third week of March, but those plans got delayed due to the pandemic. So we had our first meeting last Wednesday and had every member of our task force present virtually. So at this point, we're planning to have 8 meetings and do all of them virtually unless things change. So it was a great meeting. We've got kind of, I think, the brain trust of student debt. We've got a very diverse group of people that the governor has appointed to help us think through this problem from all aspects. So we've got people from financial aid. We've got all the university and college systems and technical schools representative. We have student debt we have borrowers with us. We have we just have a variety, bankruptcy attorneys, legal people. We have great minds that have really come together, as well as partnering with academics and think tanks from across the country that are providing us their best ideas. And also, we're taking a lot of effort to look at what other states are doing so that we can learn from best practices that are happening and consider if those would be some of the things that we want to recommend to the governor at the end of the summer when we wrap this up and provide him with recommendations.
But COVID has changed so much and it has made student debt so much more acute. What was the conversation like last week and what was on the table virtually on the table?
Sure. It's sobering when we think about the $1.6 trillion issue in the United States and think about there's at least $24 billion of student debt here in Wisconsin and over 700,000 borrowers. And complicating that is credit card debt, which is also growing. So we can't look at student debt in isolation because there are other you know, credit card debt, other kinds of debts that also exacerbate the situation for our residents. So it's very sobering. And much of the data that we have collected so far is before COVID has hit. So we think about the situation, you know, down the road and what that's going to look like. The federal government did provide relief, which is great. For 6 months, any federal debt that is held by the federal government, and I'll get back to that in just a moment, payments have been put on pause for 6 months. And that is a huge relief for many people. So if you're out of work, if you're struggling, this is one payment that you don't have to worry about until September 30th. And at September 30th, you will have to, as far as we know today, will have to resume payments, but it's a 0% interest rate and no payments during this time.
And interest isn't accruing during this time.
That's correct. So the other nice feature is that for those that are on an income-driven repayment plan, like a public service loan forgiveness plan, and those have had a lot of attention because it's been difficult to get that loan forgiveness, these, I'll call them non-payments during this time, actually will count towards the total amount of payments that are needed. So that's a really nice feature of this kind of pause program.
We're talking about student debt with Kathy Blumenfeld, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions. And looking at student debt in particular, are you currently enrolled at a college or university? How are you paying for it? Are you concerned about debt overall? And what is happening with your household during the pandemic in terms of borrowing? Join in with your questions at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Secretary, the CARES Act, that federal stimulus, you know, focuses on the federal loans, but what about private loans?
So private loans were not covered under this. Many of the private loan holders have also agreed to pause loans, but that's on a more case-by-case basis. We're actually in conversation with a multi-state effort to ask private student lenders to pause in the same way that the federal government has. But my advice to those that have private student loans or loans that were not covered under this pause button, that you call your servicer, and if you need that pause button, you ask for it, because many, many of those servicers are providing that relief during this time. It's just not automatic the way that the federal programs are. And in total, when we look at student debt, 90% of student debt is federal student debt. So that pause button does cover a large portion of that 90%. Some loans that are not being held by the federal government, like Parent PLUS loans and some of the older loans, may not be on that automatic pause. So it's really important that borrowers know what kind of loan they have, where it's held, and if you're not seeing that pause happen, to be sure to reach out to your servicer and ask for it.
Do we know how the pandemic could affect college affordability in the fall and in the future, and whether students can go to college? Can they afford it?
That's a huge question. I think there will be many outcomes that the pandemic, resulting from this pandemic. So I think people should think about what their plans are for college and look at their financial position right now, their situation all in, and make decisions based on what is best for them. What is best for them today may be very different than what their plan was in December or January of this year. My niece, for example, is a senior right now and was planning to go to a special program out of state and was really, really excited about that. And now they're kind of rethinking what they should do, because, you know, a big part of college experience is being there and being on campus. And they're not quite sure. And I don't think anyone is quite sure what the fall is going to look like. So what they're doing is kind of creating scenarios, a plan A, a plan B, and a plan C for what they might want to do. And I think over the next month or two, it'll be a lot clearer in terms of what their comfort level is of actually physically going out of state versus potentially taking online classes and even looking at a technical college, which is a great option right now. And I think many, many people, I think technical colleges are preparing for a wave of people coming their way in the fall.
Bob from Green Bay called in and couldn't stay with us. And Bob says they have federal loans, but they don't qualify for forgiveness. And wondering if there are some federal loan exceptions that don't qualify for forgiveness, and what can people do in that situation, or putting that pause button, if you will, on those federal loans.
So again, one thing would be to ask. So really contacting your servicer and asking for that. And then two is, it's a really good time. I call it student loan hygiene, mm-hmm. is to sit down and really, understand, maybe make a list of, if you have more than one loan, what are all the loans that you have? What are their terms? What are their interest rates? and really put them in order so that you can have a plan to make sure that you're paying them off in the right order that makes the most sense. And even putting your credit card debt or other debt that you have in that list. And then don't be afraid to ask for advice. There are many, many organizations, the UW Extension, banks, credit unions, social services organizations, financial planners that will be willing to sit down with people and create a plan. Create a plan for how you're going to attack your debt. And then understanding that there are a multitude of different types of loans, repayment plans, and making sure that you're in the one that is best for you.
We're talking with Kathy Blumenfeld, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions. Student loans aren't being forgiven right now, but are being frozen for most borrowers. What is the status of yours? Do you have a mix of federal loans and private loans? Are you a low-income student receiving a Pell Grant? What do you want to know about how to structure your debt amid the pandemic? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll talk more about it after this news update on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Quick programming note here. You can find the latest coronavirus news in a centralized place for related stories and analysis. It's at our website. Go to WPR.org/COVID. Now we're talking about student loan debt for the hour. The governor's task force on student debt met virtually for the first time a week ago. Since Governor Evers created the task force, the group's job has become a lot harder with the COVID-19 pandemic, and the economic devastation of student debt is much more acute. Are you a Wisconsin graduate struggling with student loans? What do you want the task force to know? Tell us about your experience with education debt. Join in 800-642-1234. We have Kathy Blumenfeld, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions, with us. Well, let's take a call now. Mary is joining us from Eau Claire. Hi, Mary.
Hello. My question is, in an effort to avoid student loan debt, I'm a grandparent who has a 529 savings plan for my grandchild. And the information that I received on the plan said that this money is not insured by the FDIC. So I'm worried about that. And so, I mean, do all those 529s, are they that same way?
Mary, that's a great question. And Secretary, explain what a 529 plan is first.
Sure. A 529 plan is a unique plan. It's an investment plan that is specifically tailored for higher education and K-12 expenses. So it is similar to putting money in a mutual fund or an investment vehicle versus putting money into a bank or a credit union that is, you know, federally insured. So there is a little bit more risk, hopefully there's a little bit more reward as well. So everyone in the state has access to our two college savings programs called 529 plans. The first is a direct program that you can go online and open up, which is EdVest. And the second one is distributed through investment advisors, and it's called Tomorrow's Scholars. And it's a great way to save for college. You're likely to, over time, be able to put away a nice amount of money that will help with your grandchildren's education. And there's lots of options that can help you either have an aggressive plan, have a plan that is tailored to when they plan to go to college. And there's also tax benefits. So each child, you can have a tax deduction up to $3,340 per child on a state basis. So it's a really nice way to save for college. But yes, it's a little bit more risky than putting money into a savings account at your local financial institution.
And many states have their own 529 programs. So if, Wisconsin, you see, is not for you, or you like like a different product in a different state, you can open up one in, say, Minnesota or Iowa.
Right. And the benefit, too, to these 529 plans is that when you go to pay, actually take the money out to pay, that you're not taxed then on the actual interest that you've earned over time. So it's a really, really great vehicle for saving for college. And coincidentally, Kate, it was about a year ago. I think it was that 529 day, which is coming up a week from Friday here, that I was on your show. And just wanted to mention, for those of you that are considering opening up an account for yourself, for your children, or for your grandchildren, that we have a great promotion for 529 day this year. Well, we'll match and put in $50 into your college savings plan if you open it up with $25. It only takes 15 minutes and $25 to open up an account. And if you do automatic payments for 6 months, we will add $50 to encourage that great savings program.
Oh, wow. And so do that on May 29th.
Yeah, anytime now.
Or anytime. It's open right now, yeah. So that incentive. Yeah. Well, Mary, thank you for calling in with that question. Let's bring in Mark now, joining us from Green Bay. Hi, Mark.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I just have an interesting situation that I think a lot of people are in. I'm currently filing for bankruptcy due to a combination of credit card debt and student loan debt and some medical debt as well. Understanding that the bankruptcy will not clear the student loan debt, just make it a little bit more manageable, my entire situation. And ultimately, I would like to buy a house and use some of my income to basically take on other debts, that benefit me greater, I guess, at this point in time. I'm rather confused about this whole situation. I'm just interested what the expert has to say about this.
And Mark, who is advising you? Where have you reached out for help as you go through the bankruptcy process?
Yeah, I've reached out to some local nonprofit financial institutions that basically offer advice for a number of budgeting, everything. And I was actually surprised that they recommended bankruptcy as a solution when I initially consulted with them. And they haven't wavered from that. And then, of course, I've met with a number of bankruptcy attorneys about my situation and how I basically passed means tests. And most of my credit card medical debt will be washed. However, I'll still have the student loan debt, and I'm kind of curious in my mind if there is going to be some forgiveness on these. Am I shooting myself in the foot? By taking this bankruptcy on, and you know, it's going to be on my credit report forever, basically. So,
Mark, thank you for bringing your situation. And Secretary Blumenfeld, what can you add here? What could you say to Mark?
Well, first of all, I'm so sorry that you're in this situation. It's got to be very stressful, and I hope that you find a way that works for you. Obviously, I can't give you specific advice, and I can't offer you that any promise that there will be loan forgiveness. That will be really the ultimate end of our task force and really what the governor chooses to include in his budget, as well as what gets approved by the legislature. But I will say that it's great that you're reaching out to get help on this and getting multiple opinions. I think that's really important, and that you're taking action. So I wish you really a good wish you well in this effort, but I can't offer you any specific advice at this time.
We also heard from Jason in Hartford, who emailed saying Jason graduated over a decade ago and still owes around $70,000 on those student loans. How is the picture of student debt different for students at, you know, state universities versus private colleges or technical colleges? Secretary Blumenfeld, what do you see there?
So $70,000 is a large amount to be burdened with. So the first thing I would say is make sure that you're in a repayment plan that works for you. So We see 25% of people, borrowers, that are in a standard repayment plan. That means just kind of like a repaying a traditional loan over 10 years. And there are many, many options for people. And I really encourage you reaching out to the studentaid.gov website, as well as your servicer, to make sure that you're in a repayment plan that works for you. So income-driven repayment plans are something that has become very popular. And for those of you that are struggling, maybe you're furloughed, maybe you've lost your job, you can switch from a standard repayment plan, which is very inflexible, to plans that are very flexible. So if you're not earning income right now, you may be able to, and even though they're on pause right now, but thinking ahead to September 30th, if you're not earning income at that time, switching to an income-driven repayment plan might also help you put off payments a little bit longer after that. So I'd really encourage you to look at making sure that you're in the right plan. That is the most important thing. For those that are working with their financial aid counselors at their school, that are in school right now, I'd really recommend, again, that hygiene approach. Reach out to your financial aid counselors and ask for help. This is a great time to ask for help in terms of, can you take a look at what I have? Can you make any recommendations? Are there any grants available? Are there scholarships available that you know about that I might be able to take advantage of? So really kind of understanding all the things that are out there to help you through this time is really important right now.
We're talking about college affordability with Kathy Blumenfeld, who's Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions. Do you work at a college or university? Maybe you are a financial aid officer or a loan officer. Are you concerned about debt after college? How much do you hear students talking about debt after graduation? And what is your campus doing to address college affordability? Join in at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Victor now, joining us from Rockford, Illinois. Good morning, Victor.
Good morning, Victor. Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Good. She's a nurse. She's a healthcare worker. And I was affected. My job was affected due to COVID-19. She has a student loan, which we were able to put on deferment. But, you know, we have done this before due to a medical condition she had a couple years ago, and we noticed our interest keep accruing and everything. Is there anything available? Does the government have anything that, as a healthcare worker and being one of the so-called, you know, the heroes of this pandemic and me being affected and not having any income, is there anything available for some type of partial forgiveness or any plan out there that I may not be aware of that I can get for her to have some relief?
Victor, thank you so much for the call. And I know that was difficult to get all of that there. But Victor's spouse is a nurse, has student loans, Secretary. Student loans have been some of it deferred, but the interest still accruing. Is there anything out there that would target healthcare workers or people in the field like nurses?
So I think it would be great to reach out and to your servicer and have a discussion around if you're not in an income-driven repayment plan, to look at those.
Checking the WPR weather.
Sorry about that. Carry on.
Public service loan forgiveness programs to see if you would qualify for those. But absolutely an income-driven replan. Another option that people look at is consolidating or refinancing student debt. Sometimes that can be done at a lower interest rate. I will caution, though, that if you go from a federal loan and try to refinance them, you can lose some of the great programs and protections that are offered only through these federal loan programs. Mm-hmm. So I'd say, first off, contact your servicer, ask about all the programs that you would qualify for. And it's likely that there is a plan that might be a little better suited for the portfolio of loans that you have right now.
talking with Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions, Kathy Blumenfeld. We'll be back in a minute here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Talking about debt through the hour, the CARES Act was the federal stimulus bill passed in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. One of its benefits, freezing payments and interest for everyone who has a federally held loan. Most borrowers won't have to worry about making any loan payments until September 30th. Do you help students with financial aid, or are you a loan officer? How frequently do students reach out for help, and what are typical questions being asked now? How have questions changed during the pandemic? Be part of this 800-642-1234. We have Kathy Blumenfeld, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions, and she stays with us. Let's take another call now. Troy is joining us from Antigo. Hi, Troy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I graduated from the UW system about 10 years ago, and I'm working as a mailman now, going through the public service loan forgiveness. And it's a program where if you do public service, they will forgive your loans in 10 years. But, you know, if you look into that, people have really struggled. The vast majority of people who go through that program don't actually receive forgiveness. And I was just wondering what steps are being taken to address that.
Great question, Troy. Secretary Blumenfeld, Troy going through the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program is a mail carrier, but there have been roadblocks to these types of programs. What is being done about that?
Troy, that's a great question. And I think it's really important. We saw about over 90% of the first cohort of people that were denied from getting their their student loans forgiven. And so at the federal level, there's a lot of effort to shore up the system and help educate people and make sure that more and more people are able to avail themselves to the loan forgiveness, because there's nothing worse. We heard from multitudes of people that were just crushed after having a plan that offered, you know, in their hopes and dreams that their loans were going to be forgiven, only to wake up the next day and find out that after making all those payments and making them on time, for whatever reasons, they didn't qualify, many of which were enrolled in the wrong type of program and didn't realize that until it was far, far too late. So the first thing I'd recommend is to call your servicer and make sure that you are in the right program. Make sure that you are in the program that will offer that loan forgiveness. When people sign up online, there's, you know, between 17 and 35 different choices that they have to make. And many people don't choose the right program. The other thing is that each year you have to comply with and certify that you have made all of your payments, you've made them on time, and that you have a certification process that has to be done on an annual basis. So to make sure that you're completing that, you keep the documentation, and I'd say over-communicate with your servicer to make sure that you are doing everything to ensure that when that day comes, you will not have any surprises and will be able to celebrate that the rest of that debt will be forgiven.
Troy, does that make sense? Have you reached out to your lender?
I have. I'm using Fed loans, and it's been a real struggle. I feel like it's a second job that I'm just constantly trying to communicate and get answers from them. I think that's the one that most people in
Fed loans.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you get different? Do you feel like you get different information each time you inquire or each time you call?
Yes, absolutely. Every single time I call, I get different information. So it's been a pain. Yeah.
How has that affected your payback, and what do your loans look like?
I've got over $100,000 of debt at this point, and you know, I'm just keeping my fingers crossed, doing my best to record everything, but again, you know, different information every time I call in.
Yeah. Troy, thank you for calling in and sharing your situation. Secretary Blumenfeld, sounds like this is really complex stuff and that, you know, Troy's not getting the same answer each time that he does inquire.
Yes. And so keeping it's very, very frustrating. And I know on the federal level, they're looking at this program very carefully. Senator Baldwin and a lot of our delegation are very concerned over this issue, which is really a federal issue, and are looking very closely at reform in this program. But I would recommend in the meantime, we are where we are, and to record the conversations, take notes, keep all of your confirmations that you have, and really build your case for that you're in the right program, you've done the confirmations, and that at the end of it, you have a file that you can really prove that you've done everything in your power to comply with the program.
So document, and document some more. Before our time runs out, I want to look for a moment at scammers during the pandemic, including investment, charity, student debt scams. What is your department doing to fight against scams?
So we've really tried to get ahead of this and been proactive in terms of the guidance that we've had. So we've given guidance in all those categories you just mentioned. And I would leave people with being skeptical about offers that come your way. So in the investment area, we're part of a national task force that is looking at the front end of this pandemic in terms of we found over 200,000 new domains that have been stood up in the last 3 months that are related to the pandemic. Now, some of those are very legitimate and they're great, but some of those are bad actors trying to make offers and scam consumers. So if someone is coming at you with an offer, whether it's a charitable donation, an investment offer, look at it very carefully. I would say only deal with licensed organizations, and you can call the Department of Financial Institutions. You can look on our website to find out if who you're dealing with is licensed. That's really important because we can only go after those folks that are licensed. The second is if you feel time pressured to make a decision, if someone's really saying, hey, this is going to disappear tomorrow, I would put your antennas up and have some concern. And if something sounds too good to be true, if they're going to offer you great returns at a time where interest rates are very, very low, or they're going to get at you're concerned about your retirement and this is going to save the day for your retirement fund, those are things to be very skeptical about. And again, you can turn to us. You can ask for advice from, you know, financial advisors, banks, credit unions, social services, outreach organizations. Ask questions and do homework before you buy into some kind of offer that may be a scam at this point in time.
Secretary Blumenfeld, thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm always happy to come back. And thank you for the great show. And thank you to your listeners as well.
Kathy Blumenfeld, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions. Just ahead, it's On Point. How will parents get back to work without childcare? Parents are expected to get back to work and they want to, but how can they do it without the childcare they rely on? That conversation is On Point. I'm Kate Archer Kent. It is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.